Hey guys, you're listening to the most captivating podcast in iTunes. That's right, the Elite Man Podcast, where we turn average men into elite men every day. We interview the very best experts from the lifestyle, health, fitness, social, and even entrepreneurial worlds. And with their help, we give you some of the best advice on the planet. Subscribe now if you haven't already and enjoy the show. And oh yeah, if you really enjoy it, leave us a review.
On today's episode, episode number 192, entitled The 1% Rule, How to Achieve Your Wildest Dreams by Following This Powerful Daily Process, I chat with Tommy Baker. Tommy Baker is a high-performance coach, podcast host, and the best-selling author of The 1% Rule. In today's episode, Tommy talks about The 1% Rule, what it is, how to use it, and how it can change your life if utilized correctly. He dives into the simple but profound concept of moving the needle every single day and how to go about staying focused and on track in such a noisy and stress-infused world. Tommy also dives into real-world examples of The 1% Rule in action and even reveals how it literally saved his own life and allowed him to overcome a crippling illness. If you're wondering how to enact massive change, skyrocket your productivity, and achieve things you never thought possible, check this episode out now. You are going to love it. Hey, are you sauntering around town feeling like a million bucks and wearing our Elite Man gear yet? If not, head on over to EliteManMagazine.com/store and order your Elite Man shirts, sweatshirts, and long sleeve shirts right now. If you listen to the show and follow some of the core lessons provided by our world-class guests and myself, you're most certainly an Elite Man already. But if you also want to look like an Elite Man everywhere you go, get one of our fantastic shirts today. All of our shirts are comfortable, stylish, and just downright cool. So wait no more on stepping up your day-to-day casual game. Go to EliteManMagazine.com/store and look fantastic rocking one of our Elite Man shirts. EliteManMagazine.com/store. All right, guys, we're live. It's Justin Stenstrom from EliteManMagazine.com, and my guest today is my good friend Tommy Baker from ResistAverageAcademy.com. Tommy, thanks so much for coming on the show, man.
Justin, my pleasure, man. Love what you're doing, the value you're creating. This podcast is a game changer. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, we connected a long time ago, probably a couple of years ago back, and I always wanted to get you on the podcast. Not sure why it took so long, but here we are, happy to get you on. Just for, take a minute or so, literally a minute, 60 seconds. How did you get to the point? Because I mentioned a minute ago in the intro that you are a top performance coach and you help a lot of people get to the next level. Take a minute and explain, fill in some gaps, how you got to that point and what it is you do exactly right now.
Absolutely, man. And this will be my challenge because I can be a rambler, but it's all good. So my thirst and passion in entrepreneurship has now been for 10 years, but I started out in the fitness industry, grew a couple gyms, and dude, I was fascinated by physicality, but most importantly, why two people who, you know, seem to come from the same background, same age, same demographics, almost exact psychographics, why is one person getting massive results and one person still stuck in their ways? And that led me down the rabbit hole, which I'm still on today, of studying human psychology, neuroscience, you know, anything related to what actually creates human behavioral change long term, whether through crisis and pain or whether through being pulled by a vision or something greater, wanting to get to oasis of sorts. And that's what I transitioned to and dedicated myself to now, working with entrepreneurs, you know, solopreneurs, entrepreneurs, even some freelancers, helping them just think bigger. And the number one issue that I see out there is that we don't lack ambition, we don't lack dreams, we don't lack powerful ideas. We lack how we move towards those today. And that's where I come in. I help reverse engineer that process in a way that actually gives people their power back and doesn't get to a place where you're so overwhelmed because you got so far to go. And that's kind of where I love to spend my time these days.
Love it. So what are some of your background teachings, philosophies? How do you help some of these coaches, these entrepreneurs, take it to that next level? Are we talking things like NLP? Are we talking different strategies, like different protocols and teachings like that? Or is it more of like an intuitive thing and you've kind of developed your own process?
All of that. So it blends to me the best of both worlds, which is the hard science. I'm a total geek in regards to science. Like, I'll spend a lot of time on Google Scholar. I did that for the fitness stuff, nutrition, but then also for the mindset piece. NLP stuff, I've done a lot of that. Obviously worked with some of the best mentors and coaches in the world on that front. And then, but then it's also the other side. And when you put enough reps into anything, you see patterns, because we're all much more similar than different. So while the conversation and the context may be different, the core theme is very, very similar. And with reps, you're able to harness the power of intuition. And basically what I do in a nutshell, and through the podcast, through coaching, is that I create the container to have a conversation where transformation can take place. And that's what I do, because for me, conversations have changed my life many times over. For my clients, conversations has changed their life. And that's what I'm about. That's why I'm so excited to be on the show, because I know that somebody listening, one person, that's all I care about, is going to pick something up, and that's going to create a radical shift. And that's the name of the game.
Yeah, and that has happened to me too, just listening to people over the years, whether it's on an interview, a podcast, or a YouTube clip that comes up. My life has dramatically changed sort of serendipitously multiple times, stumbling upon different people, listening to like a thing, a Facebook ad actually several years back, 3-4 years back, ended up having me go down a rabbit hole where I did all kinds of research, and it changed my whole business around, my whole business structure, because I kind of didn't have much structure when I first started a few years back. And then I saw this Facebook ad, you know, of all things on Facebook, clicked it. Next thing you know, I'm taking a webinar. Next thing you know, I'm signing up for this guy's class. Next thing you know, I'm dropping a couple grand on his course. And it changed my life, though. It like, you know, completely changed the way I did things and made me 10 times more successful. So I love the idea of you listening to other people and having that now, having the ability to now give that back to others. And then, you know, someone listening to this podcast right now will see Tommy Baker and hear your story and resonate with you, because I think you have an incredible story, and you know, you're doing so many great things right now.
And dude, you know, you know this, because you've done 200 shows, and I get the same experience every single week. I get to get my own little private mastermind with some of the top people in the world. You know, the other day talking to JJ Virgin, learning so much about you know, business on that call. And you know, selfishly, I would do it if nobody was listening, because God, to spend 200 hours with these people, you can't help but you know, that sauce to come into your life in so many different ways. And that's what I'm about, man.
Yeah. Was there a turning point for you that you can think of business-wise in the past couple of years, or someone that you really resonated with that kind of took you to that next level?
I think the biggest turning point for me was realizing, hey, you know, I had this big passion and this big dream of building a fitness business, and I had this vision of creating, you know, franchises and 25 locations, and I was on my way. We had two, but things were working. But I had to get really honest with myself that the vehicle of my purpose and my passion had expired, meaning that just the physicality that I was teaching and nutrition and some of the mindset pieces in there, it didn't fit where I wanted to go anymore. And man, that's a hard thing, because hey, everybody gets you when you're saying things aren't working, when things literally aren't working, when you have a job that you hate and your boss is, you know, driving you crazy and all of that stuff. But when it's something that you said you wanted, it can be much harder to admit. But once I got to that place and I said, I'm going to pivot, and I'm going to go chase the thing that now that it really fires me up. That was a big watershed moment, because it was even hard to admit that to myself, because I could have stayed on the path and continued down that path. And fitness is still a big part of my life, man. I think it's such a powerful tool. But did I want to be there 10 years in a decade? Where did I see myself with that path? And I didn't want to be there. So that was a big moment. I was I was on the East Coast in New York, and it was New Year's Eve one night, and I just left this dinner. Like, I didn't even say anything, man. I was just like, when you're somewhere, but you're not really there, your mind is somewhere else. And man, that night I just made a declaration, and I said, I'm going to uproot every part of my life, man. Complete transformation. But I had a problem. Everything was a problem. I had just signed a 5-year lease. I was on the hook for $400,000 on that building. I had 11 employees. And so, but when we make powerful decisions, man, and we're all in and we commit, the world starts to conspire for us and help get us there faster.
Yeah. I resonate very much with your background in fitness too. I did personal training for about 3 years, several, probably almost a decade ago now, but it was a big part of my life too. And after a while, I don't know, it sounds kind of like what you went through, but after a while, I noticed a lot of people, and with me especially in the fitness industry, you kind of get burned out doing the same thing. And now you were doing a little bit different stuff. I mean, you had your own gym, you had two of them. you're kind of doing a different thing and a lot more successful than to, you know, the level I was at. But just personal training wise and being at the gym all the time, it's funny, you think, you know, you get into fitness and you're at the gym all the time, you're going to love it more, you're going to dive into it more, you're going to start working out more and be in like tip top shape. After a while, I noticed like I hated being at the gym. I hated working out myself. I was starting to take less care of myself. And
you got in worse shape, dude.
I got in worse shape being in it, dude. It fucking sucked. And I just got entirely turned off by the whole fitness thing for a couple of years and then kind of had to get myself back into it. But I had to step away from it to really figure out what I wanted to do. And at that point, it was the whole dating and confidence and helping other guys and kind of being like the life coach transition as far as just going to the gym and doing that, you know, same kind of schedule every day. I had to switch things up basically. And it sounds like you did the same thing and it, you know, paid off well for you.
Yeah. And the key to that is like, you got to get started with something. So the things that we're interested in, things that we're pulled by passion, purpose, like these things are pulling us for a reason. And so often people will say, well, I'm just going to sit around and wait for clarity. And like, for me, you know, if I would have waited and not, you know, starting the gym and all of that was very, very risky. It was very intense. It was very hard. But I learned so many beautiful things, man. I learned how how to read research online and then teach it to somebody in a simple format. I learned empathy and communication. I learned influence. I learned copywriting. I learned marketing a business. All of these things that are now serve me in a very high capacity. And so, you know, for people out there, it's like, man, Justin and Tommy, they pivoted, they changed their evolution. Welcome to the game of life. Welcome to the game of entrepreneurship. You're going to pivot so many times. And this is one of the fallacies of the personal development industry, which is like, man, you're going to come to our event and you're going to have clarity for life. And I love clarity, but all you need is clarity for the next, for this year. And then furthermore, break that down to today, or else you'll get overwhelmed. I remember recently with my business, we stepped back, we put everything on a whiteboard. Dude, there was not one centimeter of that whiteboard that wasn't taken up. And I was like, damn, this is a lot of clarity. And I told someone in the room, if you had shown me this 3 years ago, I would be overwhelmed as hell. So sometimes too much clarity, like that whiteboard, all the stuff that on the whiteboard, no chance I could have dealt with that 3 years prior. So if you're out there, get started, because you'll find your clarity through trying stuff you like, you don't like, things that light you up, and you're going to find something deep in there that's going to resonate.
Yeah, there's so many pivots I've had business-wise and even through my life personally. It's ridiculous to think that you can go in with the idea beforehand and know exactly what's going to happen 5 years from now, or even 2 years from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, you know, 20, 30 years down the road. It happens. I mean, that's life. There's so many different pivots. There's so many different things that pop up that you can't think of, that you won't foresee. Even if you talk to everybody about business and what you're getting into, they can't relay all the crazy shit that's going to pop up inevitably. So
exactly.
You got to be ready to pivot. You got to be ready to turn and try something new, or just keep going with the flow of things. I like the idea too that you just brought up of mapping everything out, your entire business. And you said a couple of years ago, if you had done all that, it would have been overwhelming. What did you actually learn by doing that? What, like seeing your whole business tangibly in front of you, what kind of clarity, what kind of vision did that give you? Did it perhaps show you things that you were missing or things that you might have to take away, or kind of give you a different perspective on your business structure?
All of those things, man. I think just on a level, you know, what we do and the brand, product, or service that we deliver to the world, I mean, it's very close to us, all of us. Even if you're thinking of doing so, it's going to be very close to you. You're going to be very emotionally tied to it. And when you're emotionally tied to something, you just can't see anything. It's like, our friends who are going through a breakup, and, you know, we're telling them we're giving them the sauce of what's really going to happen, and they can't really hear it. I mean, they can hear it, but they can't listen to it because they're so emotionally tied up in it. And to me, and the number one thing that gets in the way of entrepreneurs is our emotions. Emotions get in the way of projects not being complete, bad hires, not firing fast enough, not making powerful decisions in the marketplace. So I love this exercise of getting, it's almost like journaling, right? You get all of the shit out on paper. In journaling, this is in business, and now you can see things that you couldn't see, just like you said. And so every quarter I'll do a day and a half of this, and then every week I'll do like 45 minutes of this. And obviously I'm not doing it the same extent, but I am releasing some of the stuff so I can gain a little perspective and see like, okay, is that still a priority, or should I shift? And I always say, and I think it's in the book, but reflection is as important as purposeful action, meaning purposeful action, really, really important, not just hustle, but purposeful action. and then reflecting on that action, because during the reflection is where you get the pivots. I talk to so many entrepreneurs and we all go to events and often they tell me, dude, I got clarity on the plane ride home. I got clarity on the hike before the event started. The event had stuff to do with it and it brought stuff up. But many times we'll find clarity in the places that we don't expect, and especially when we're not doing more.
Yeah, I love the reflection aspect of it too. I recently interviewed Dr. Rick Hansen. I don't know if you're familiar with him. He's the guy who wrote the Buddha's Brain book. Super
awesome,
popular. You know, it's massive New York Times bestseller, all that. But one of the things he mentions it's a little different, but it's actually similar in terms of feeling better throughout the day, having a better mindset, having a better attitude, changing your feelings, your emotions. If you're down, this is like a way to feel better, is to reflect consciously throughout the day. Like our brains are wired to think negatively oftentimes, and like, you know, between 70, there's a varying research, but between like 70 to 90% of our thoughts can be negative or non-productive thoughts.
Absolutely.
So one way to counteract that, he suggests, is consciously taking breaks. Like you can go back and listen to the episode for those listening, but throughout the day, it's basically like maybe once, you know, for a couple seconds, 30 seconds, every couple hours, you're consciously reflecting on the good stuff you have in your life, the gratitude, all the good shit that's happening, and, you know, making yourself feel better and taking those little breaks and pauses throughout the day will actually completely change your mindset and attitude about how life's going and how you're feeling.
Yeah, because that's a great energy to create from. I mean, think about, for somebody listening, think about the last time you were late to a meeting, you were rushing, you were stressed, you hit a red light, then you got a nasty email, you were all of that. What are you going to create from that space? How abundant are you going to be thinking? What kind of ideas are going to be coming through you? No, you're going to be looking down. You're going to be focused on what's not working, how the person just cut you off, so they must have something against you. So that you'll never, with this high, and this is how we live our lives. It's a very extreme example of, you know, running around, but that's how most of us live our lives, especially in entrepreneurship, where it's nonstop doing. You got to be posting 10 times a day. If you're not doing videos, you're invisible. All of this stuff that we're told, and then we miss out on the powerful reflection. And to me, the way I want to design my life is, yeah, I want to have a lot of purposeful doing and a lot of things that light me up and charge me up and things that I'm working on. And then I want the complete opposite of that, which is complete disconnection and space, et cetera, et cetera. Most people, they live in the middle of all of that, so they don't get the benefits of one or the other.
Yep, missing out on a lot of shit. Tommy, let's talk about the 1% rule now. The full title of the book is The 1% Rule, How to Fall in Love with the Process and Achieve Your Wildest Dreams. I mentioned to you before the call, I was doing some research, digging around on Amazon a few months back, and I came across your book, The 1% Rule, and I'm like, hold on a second, Tommy Baker? I know this guy. Your book was at the top.
Rings a bell.
Yeah, Tommy Baker. I'm pretty sure that rings a bell. I'm pretty sure I know this guy. So I looked it up, and of course, yep, your face popped up on the picture. You're the author. Reached out to you. Man, your book has been selling like hotcakes for the past few months, and it's incredible. I'm gonna order it right after this call. I mentioned to you, haven't had a chance to read it myself, but it looks incredible. 1% Rule. I love the concept of it. I dig through some of the notes on it. Talk about the book itself. How did you come up with this idea, the 1% rule? Where did that come from? And how did you, you know, put that together to make an incredible best-selling book like it is now?
Yeah, absolutely, man. Thank you for that. That means the world. You know, I was actually in this building, which is my co-working space in my podcast studio. I'm in a client session, and we're just having one of those sessions. The tensions are high, which is great, because that's when leverage happens. That's when growth happens. You don't want to hire a coach that's just like, you know, patting you on the back every single day. You want to create those containers of respect of like, you know, things are happening. And I turn to my client and I'm like, dude, all you have to do is, you know, what we were talking about. And if you do that and today and then tomorrow, guess what you're going to do? You're going to wake up, you do the same thing. 1%, 1%, 1%. And then I said, you know what? And then it's just the 1% rule. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to write that on the whiteboard, cause I'm going to write a book about that one day. And it kind of stuck with me. And that session couldn't end fast enough. Not that I wanted, I wasn't present with the rest of the time with my client, but I just kind of had this insight that, you know, I wrote it on the whiteboard. I need to go make that a reality. So as soon as the session finished, I ran over to another part of the co-working space and I wrote the first 500 words. And for anybody listening, this is the power of taking action on your insights. I know for a matter of fact, if I don't write those first 500 words, man, a month goes by, weeks go by, the thing never gets written, right? And so that's how I came up with it, because But the metamorphosis of it came way earlier, and basically where it stems from, man, is that, dude, I love going to events, man. I've been to all of the events. I mean, not all of them, but I go to lots of them. I've invested $250,000 of myself in the last decade in growth and personal development and coaches and mentors, and everybody talks about the vision, the big vision, the massive vision. Everybody sells that. But what do you do after that? Like, I never hear anything about how do you put those pieces together. And this was my experience, man. I would go to events and events, and you know, I would come home and I'd be a combination of inspired and exhausted. I'd go through that post-event dip that tends to happen. And then I'd feel like a little bit worse, and I had nothing to show for it except a few thousand less dollars in the account. And I was like, dude, there has to be a better way. And that's when I really started to just reverse engineer the process of like, cool, like we got the vision that's essential in life to have something that you're being pulled by, something that you see, something that's not that you believe in, but you can't see it yet. But what do you do on a Tuesday morning when you're on 4 hours sleep and you're tired and you're exhausted? Like, can I create something that connects the dots between those two? And that's really where the book was born. And it was born to do one thing, to help release the pressure, man, because I felt this pressure. And when you look at the top of the mountain from down here, man, it looks so far, and it looks like, man, am I ever going to get there? So what's the point of even getting started? And I know that action and daily action and progress and small wins add up to a lot of progress. But most importantly, they build confidence, they build self-esteem, and they create momentum, which is what we want to do. So that's how the book was born, to give people their power back, to give them a process and a mindset shift of, dude, forget the external outcome. Like, that's powerful to have. But what if we focus on the process, and along the way, a door opens that you could have never imagined, that is 10 times more powerful than what you could have, what you were placing all your energy on. And that's really the ethos of the book.
Did you come up with the concept itself of the 1% rule, or is that something that has been like researched in the past and there's, you know, articles and all this other kind of stuff?
I mean, there's other books that say similar things, right? So I didn't reinvent anything. You know, the compound effect, what is that about? You know, it's not necessarily 1%, but it's moving forward every day just a little bit, once, you know, a little bit. So I didn't come up with the concept. One of the things that I saw with things like the compound rule, and there's another book out there, was they talked about the concept, but I didn't really have a process after that. It's like, okay, so yes, I understand that compound interest is powerful, I can use that in my life, but kind of how do I put that together? So the concept's been out there, incremental. You know, I did a lot of research, both that was, you know, that I had seen before and also sought out, about the power of small wins and micro habits. You know, literally saying, no, I'm not even going to go to the gym, I'm just going to do 10 push-ups for the next month. And it sounds so dumb, but you almost want it to be so dumb and so simple that it's impossible not to do 10 push-ups. I mean, everybody can do 10 push-ups. I don't care how busy you are. You want it to be that level of simple, because within action, you find progress. And then you find out that, hey, I could actually do 13 push-ups today instead of 10. And that's kind of the ethos. So I didn't come up with it. I wanted to give it a different spin and give people a tangible system to actually put it into place.
Yeah, I think, well, you're right. The concept of it, I think, has been around for ages. But I think you put a pretty good spin on it. And I love the title of it, the 1% rule. It's just so cool. It stands out. The cover's great. Very eye-catching. But you're right. This concept of small wins, building that. I've been talking about this for years, by the way. You can go back on different podcasts and interviews and you know, a couple speeches in the past, probably 3 or 4 years, where I've been talking about small wins to build up confidence. And it's always been a big part of the strategy I've had in building confidence in myself and the clients I work with, is taking those small steps. So back in the day, I used to do a lot of dating advice and a lot of dating coaching. And one of the things was progressively working yourself up. Like every week would be a new challenge of, you know, start small. These guys, a lot of these guys come to me introverted, they're shy, they don't really get out, they're not great socially. But having the first week of a challenge be like, you know, just talking to someone and having a small conversation. It could be an old lady, it could be an older guy, it could be someone at the store, a cashier, whatever it is, walking down the street, saying hi on a bus, train station, whatever it is, having a small conversation, you know, 30 second long, hi, how's your day going, that stuff. Then the next week's a little progressively more challenging. And then after that, you know, 4 to 6 weeks from that, you're talking to smoking hot babes at the bar, and you get a lot of confidence when you do it. So it's basically working yourself up, because when you do these things over and over again, you get, you know, progressively harder, and you're achieving these things. You're basically tearing down those walls or those pillars that you didn't think you could go over before, and then all of a sudden you get those roadblocks out of your way. Everything opens up, man. You get this unbelievable confidence that you can do basically anything.
And that's all I wanted to build, because we place our self-esteem around the result. And in your example, it's as if, you know, and this is just an entrepreneurship and goal setting and building a business. What we're led to believe is, you know, 6 figures in 6 weeks, 7 figures in 90 days, whatever you want to call it. That's like the hottest girl in the room, right? And you haven't talked to anybody in 3 months. You've been playing video games on your couch, and you're going to go up to her. And guess what? Most likely you're going to be blown out or whatever it is. And you're going to give up. You're going to say, this isn't for me. And so your approach is exactly what we're talking about. No, start talking to people, be open, be curious, learn some of those social skills that come with talking to anybody. And then with some of those reps, when you do see somebody you're interested, guess what? It's not the same pressure. And if you do get blown out, guess what? It's okay, because there's somebody else right across the street. And yeah, that's what I want to give people, that confidence, that slow wins. And the thing with this is that it's not sexy. You know, it won't sell out big seminar rooms. You know, people go to Tony Robbins for the vision, for the possibility, and that serves a purpose. And I'm not discounting that. That's also believing that there's something greater out there for us is crucial, but we have to start small.
Yeah, you're right. It's kind of like two different philosophies, but they're both part of the full picture. But some people only see the Tony Robbins sort of philosophy as the full picture, but it's not. It's really just a piece of the pie, or even, you know, maybe half the pie, and this is the other part. But it's like the Tony Robbins aspect of things gives people the hope, and it gives people the drive that what they can go after is attainable. Like,
yes,
for some people that don't have hope, it's that, you know, they feel like shit. They feel like they'll never get out of the rut that they're in.
Exactly.
On the other hand, if that's all they have, they're not actually taking steps to make different changes in their life. But your aspect of it is basically like the action part of it. It's the day-to-day shit. It's the stuff that's actually going to put that whole plan into implementation and give you those results you're looking for.
Yeah, I like that clouds in the dirt analogy. I think you need both, right? And for me, I just spend more of my time in the dirt, because, you know, the clouds, you know, like I said, sometimes the clouds, if you focus enough on the dirt, sometimes that blooms into something that the clouds, you know, the more beautiful sun that you didn't even imagine was there. And that's what I want to give people their power back, man. Above all, their personal power back. When I say power, I mean confidence, self-esteem, and knowing that regardless of winning or failing or how long it takes, you can be at peace with yourself. And that's what we all want anyway. Mm-hmm.
Where do you recommend the listeners start if we're talking about the 1% rule? What's like the first thing you want them to know about the 1% rule? What's the first action step to take to actually living this kind of life, where you're taking steps, you're taking actions every single day to, you know, move that needle forward?
Yeah, man. And to me, it's one of the first things that I talk about, which is just some myths that we've been led to believe. And, you know, I talk about this gap, which is the expectation and commitment gap. So often we have these expectations that are what I call a level 10. That means, hey, I'm going to go to the gym and I'm going to get a six pack, you know, in the next 6 weeks. I'm going to start this dating thing and I'm going to have this amazing girlfriend in 6 weeks. And listen, all of that stuff is possible. That's more of a unicorn type approach, right? Like, I'm not going to bet my life on some mystical creature that doesn't exist. So, so that's a level 10 expectation. But when we examine people's expectations, I also look at their commitments, because I know what it takes to get a six pack. I don't have one right now. I'm actually like not even close based on, you know, where I'm at physically. My commitment isn't there. I'm not meal prepping right now. I'm training every single day, but there's no strategic plan around it. I'm not working with a coach. And so it's important to look at our expectations and then to look at our commitments. And then we realize there's a gap. So let's say somebody does want to create, you know, a business that brings in $10,000 a month, and they're starting at zero. Well, what are the activities that you're doing every single day? And what is your level of commitment? And maybe for someone that, let's just say that's a level 10. And let's say their level of commitment is a level 2. So we have an 8 gap between those two. So we have two options there. We can either lower our expectations and say, hey, my goal is going to be to make $1,000 a month. So that would be in line with the commitment. Or I'm going to raise my commitment to a level 10, meaning these are the things, and I help you identify them in the book. So at least I have alignment between my expectations and my commitments. And that's really one of the starting points. And I'm sure you've experienced this, Justin, but one of the most forgotten parts about goal setting and with anything that we want to create is taking an honest inventory on where we are today. And listen, most coaches, most programs, they avoid this because it's not fun. It's not going to sell. Hey, I'm going to spend an hour with you getting deep about where you truly are today and what the negative impact that's having on your life is today. It's, you know, I had a client once and he was like, dude, we've spent the first 3 hours of our agreement here just talking about where I am. And I'm like, yes, because if you don't know where you are, you're going to build a fantasy. Right. If I don't know where I'm at right now in Scottsdale and I just start driving aimlessly, I don't know where I'm going to end up. So in order to know to get where we want to go, we got to be honest and real about where we are, because when we get honest and real, we can use pain as leverage. If you pull up the bank account right now, no judgment, no stories, no stuff, and it pains you to see the number, because for me, for years, it pained me to see the number. And many times that was a negative number. I want to create from that energy, because that has leverage, right? That has the same leverage as painting a powerful vision. This is where most people get this wrong. They live in the middle. They avoid looking at the numbers. They avoid looking in the mirror. They avoid looking at the quality of their relationships or asking their significant other, you know, creating the space. How am I really doing? How am I showing up mentally, physically, emotionally? And so I just gave you a mouthful, but I would start with expectations and commitments and taking an honest inventory on where you are, because When you're honest about where you are, man, the opportunity to change is massive. Instead of avoiding where you are and kind of falling in love with a fantasy of change, but you won't know, you can't get there if you don't know where you are today.
So, do you think it's good? Do you think it's beneficial, healthy to have high expectations if you don't have? I mean, it's kind of a rhetorical question in a sense, but if you don't have that commitment, if you don't have the time to necessarily dedicate to something, should you start very slowly, like we talked about earlier, like kind of build up to that point where you can free up time? Or do you think maybe sacrificing, say, sleep and hours in the day and sacrificing from other areas of your life is probably beneficial if you really want to see that success? So I guess the overall gist of it is sacrificing time really worth it to have something if you really want it that bad? Or do you think maybe having a slower approach where you can kind of build up to the point where you're spending most of your hours and most of your time dedicating to something that you want to do? And, you know, kind of the Gary V thing where he's like, oh, you have that side hustle and work regular hours, like a regular job, but also have the side hustle where you can still do that and kind of work out on it at night. Or maybe kind of diving all into it right from the beginning. What do you suggest, Tommy?
Yeah, and there's so much in there, because I've studied that intensely based on personality types and all of this stuff. What I would say is sky-high expectations will crush your dream and will force you to give up much, much sooner because you can't control that. I know for me, I can control my attitude. I can control the way I train myself physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, the way that I manage my time, the way that I take inventory, the way that I, all of those things. But I, even then, even if those things are optimized, I can't control the end result. So expectations are a huge, huge dream killer. So I would tell people to start at the small stuff. Like, prove to me that you can do it. So I'll work with clients and, you know, I have a simple system of habits, and they'll say, dude, when are we going to get to like the, you know, I came on here because, like, you know, I'm a solopreneur and I'm got to make my first hire and I want to like triple my business. Like, when are we going to get to that stuff? And I'm like, awesome, man. What'd you get in your habits? We track this. You know, how many points did you get in your habits this week? 29. The most is 42. If you can't do the little stuff, don't try to do the big stuff. And so often we all just want to do the big stuff. We all just want to walk onto an NBA, you know, floor and think that we're actually going to be able to maneuver like Kobe Bryant. It's like, dude, are you willing to shoot 400 shots like Kobe did, even when he was already elite? Are you willing to do that? So I want to control as many things as I can control, and expectations and all the external stuff is very hard to control. So I would start small, build, just like your example with the dating, build and then build and then build. Dude, in 1 year, I'm so confident because I've seen lives transformed. That's why I say 1 year. And, you know, most people say 90 days, 30 days. But in 1 year, you can radically transform your physicality if that's what you want to, your income. your relationships, your spiritual connection, whatever you want to transform radically just by taking small steps every single day. Consistency is much more powerful than intensity.
Hey, I've said this before, but I'll say it again. Have you joined the Elite Man newsletter yet? If not, get on it today. Go to elitemanmagazine.com/newsletter and sign up to get special Elite Man content not seen nor heard anywhere else. Get all of our bonus podcast information, sneak peeks into upcoming shows, behind-the-scenes content, special offers, and exclusive Elite Man updates you won't find anywhere else. I'm telling you, if you are not on our newsletter, you are missing out. Go to elitemanmagazine.com/newsletter and become a true member of the Elite Man community. I look forward to speaking to you soon and seeing you on the inside. EliteManMagazine.com/newsletter. When we're talking about commitment itself to the goal and the expectations that you come up with, what do you recommend people do to keep them committed to it? Because you see all these things, whether it's in the health world, the fitness world, all these different sort of diets that pop up or exercise things that pop up, and it's like, you know, 21 days for this, 60 days for that, 90 days for this, but all these people do that for like, you know, a week, a couple days, a couple weeks, yeah, and then they fall off and it's like, shit, this thing didn't work, or, you know, oh, that they ripped me off because I didn't lose 20 pounds in, you know, fucking 30 days, or like they said that, like I would, but it's like the commitment wasn't really there. So what do you suggest that people do to stay committed to their goal, to stay committed to the ultimate vision, even though we're taking small steps here? And it can be kind of hard to stay committed to it and lose the overall vision to it when we're not looking at the grand picture every day.
Absolutely, man. It's such a great question. John Acuff, who wrote a bunch of books, he wrote Start and he wrote the book Finish. He says that the day that most people quit is day number two in any goal. So they get started and then they're gone. Like, and I was surprised by that. I was like, damn, I thought you'd at least last like 7 days. And I've seen that because I've built courses and I've built stuff. And it was a little depressing because, you know, I put a lot of work into it. And it wasn't about sales, but I was like, why are people no longer logging into this anymore after 5 days? You know, and first I was like, something wrong with my program. So I started to fix that. This is human behavior 101, man. So in terms of what you're saying, I call it do as much as you can to make your success absolutely non-negotiable. So what does that mean? One, what are your environments? You know, people that want to get in shape, if you've tried to get in shape for the last 6 times doing P90X in your basement, that hasn't worked, time to go to a gym where you feel uncomfortable as hell, surrounded by people who make you uncomfortable. Trust me, you show up, you're going to get results from that. So environment is a huge catalyst. I teach just entrepreneurs, a lot of entrepreneurs that I have worked with work from home. There's nothing wrong with working from home. We could do this podcast. I could be in my boxers. Why do I come to a studio? Because, dude, I'm going to show up differently here. I'm going to show up with more power. And it might just be 10%. You might not even notice it. They might not even notice it. I notice it. So leverage your environment. Environment is the forgotten sauce of easy ways to create transformation. Two, celebrate your wins. We're always thinking about what hasn't worked, how far along we are, we're not, how this person is crushing it. They have more followers. They have more income. They have a better job. They have a better looking wife, all of this stuff. And so it's like, okay, let's shift that. Every single day, can you find 10 places that you won? I remember giving this to clients. I have them do 100 for a year, but early on, I'd have them do 10 a day. But I'd be like, I can't find 10. And I'm like, dude, you're not looking hard enough. Where did you have courage to have that conversation? Where did you exercise patience and empathy? Where did you, you know, and so you tune your brain to actually celebrate the wins. And the last part is surround yourself with people, and some of these are paid and some of these are just part of your tribe, who are on a similar journey, because we're all going to have days where we don't want to do things. We're all going to have days where we feel like we want to give up. And newsflash, all the most successful people you look up to, they have the same deal all the time as well. But going back to number one, your environment, but the people in your environment, these are the people you lean on during those times. And it can, in my perspective from coaching so many people in fitness and entrepreneurship, one has to be a paid investment in something, some tribe, some program, some coach, some type of system where you're paid and so you're bought in financially. But also just take the iPhone test right now. Go into your iPhone, detach for a second. You're not going to judge here. Look at your last 10 messages and ask yourself, do these last 10 messages, are they going to propel me closer to the goals that I want, or are they going to take me further away? And that's a direct analysis non-judgmental, it's like truth of the people that you're surrounding yourself with. And if you're surrounding yourself with people that hate their boss, hate their job, or are complaining all the time, or I think life coaches are a scam and personal, obviously, they wouldn't be listening, but the people around them, if that's what you're surrounding, dude, you're going to, I'm a positive guy. I'm like, I've done a lot of work emotionally. I have a lot of gratitude. You put me in a conference room with 1,000 pissed off negative people, day number one, I'm good, man. I'll be pumping people up. I'll be changing the room as much as I can. Day 30, I'll be much more like them than I am today. So those three things are as much as you can make success automatic and bulletproof it, not just use willpower and changing emotional states. It's going to happen, man.
Yeah, I love that. There's a lot of good nuggets in there for sure. And I've said this too, so many times, the whole Jim Rohn quote, you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. It's so true. And like you said, it's funny that you said, I didn't know actually where you were going with that for a second. I thought you would be like, I change people and that's it. I can convert some people and make them more positive. But it's like, you're so right. You're honest about that. The fact that day one, you're a positive dude. You surround yourself with a room full of 1,000 people. You're going to make a ton of those people more positive in the first day.
Yeah. Yep.
But 30 days later, man, it's just inevitable.
I got no energy left, dude.
It's fucking draining. It's draining. You can't.
Absolutely.
It's not possible to convert that many people to your side, and everybody, you walk, even Tony Robbins after 30 days or maybe 60 days for Tony, but even him at some point would not be able to sustain that amount of energy that it takes and the amount of energy that's being drained from him to make all these other people happy or fit his mold and philosophy and outlook on life. Eventually they're going to bring him down to his level. And it's just a matter of time, a matter of fact. That's how it happens, man. You got to surround yourself with people who have the same goals as you, who have the same vision and the same desires, and who are actually going to support you. Maybe they don't know the exact steps that you're taking and they have, the best advice for you to take, but just the fact, like, energy-wise, emotionally, they're going to support your goals. That's a game changer for you.
Well, we often tend to surround ourselves with enablers, meaning it's the group of guys that go out to happy hour and one guy complains about their boss and everybody's like, yeah, that guy's just a total dick. Yeah, that place is horrible. I mean, they should really treat you better. You need to get paid more, and everybody just enables each other. And I'm like, is that really friendship? And I used to have friends like that. And I'm like, for me, the definition of friendship is a high level of respect and trust. And so if that's the case, then I want you to call me out on that. So if I'm the guy complaining about the boss, I want to say, well, what have you done today? When was the last time you looked in the mirror and looked at how you're showing up? And like, dude, that's challenging. There's tension in that. But I want to surround myself with people that respect me enough to see where I'm playing small, and vice versa. And when we create those powerful containers, it's like, man, it's a powerful union. It's a powerful energy that just propels you forward no matter what. You will not, people say you can get your mindset to a place where you can, yes, are there people like that? I mean, Viktor Frankl, right? He was in the Holocaust, and he was able to, his mind stayed in a place where he was able to detach from our environment. For most of us, that is really, really, change is already hard enough. And if you have an environment that's disempowering, dude, the chances are minimal.
It's so hard. It's so hard to break past that. But the only real way that I can see or that I know is effective is to detach from those types of people and replace them with more positive people. Again, ideally, you want to replace them with people who know the type of business or goal that you have in mind. It's not just business. It's health, it's fitness, it's dating advice, whatever it is. But know the types of goals and kind of can strategize with you or give you feedback, give you good ideas, and give you new perspectives on things that actually tangibly help you out in those areas. But even just, again, that nourishing support, that nourishing energy that comes along with being around positive people or people who support your goals is going to completely change your outlook on it. And like you said, you're a positive person. I'm a positive person too. There's something to be said about being positive throughout the day and being optimistic that what you're doing and the things that you do on a day-to-day basis are changing your life in the better or for the better. And I don't know, man, there's something that goes along with having that kind of mindset where you're doing the right things and you know you're doing the right things, I think you're a lot more successful in that light, even if you're not just around other people, positive people, but just having that mindset yourself of being more positive, I think, you know, can be very helpful.
Absolutely, man. It's just training ourselves. We've been trained, just like you said. You know, I just had Dr. Bruce Lipton on the show. He basically invented epigenetics, which is how, you know, the whole science about how our thoughts and our beliefs and our perceptions actually change ourselves. We're not predetermined to have cancer or anything. Only 1% of diseases. But we have a faulty program. And, you know, he said 70% of all of our programming is self-sabotaging, disempowering, or negative. Especially from our parents, and even if we grew up in amazing support systems, it's still 70% disempowering. So welcome to the game. We all have a faulty app that is not functioning 100%. And to me, it just becomes fun to say, hey, how can I make this just a little bit better today? And just like you said, it breeds momentum. And then one day you wake up and you're like, damn, I didn't know I could actually feel this good. What else is possible now? And that's where I want to take people, to the place where it's like they're looking up instead of down. They're actually looking up in possibility, not just staring down at their phones or on what's not working. What is possible for me now?
Yeah, it's incredible. And I like how you mentioned Dr. Bruce Lipton. He's someone I definitely want to get on the podcast at some point. I don't know.
I'll
much
connect
about
you guys.
Yeah, I appreciate that. That'd be awesome. I came across his work a while back and then just kind of forgot to, you know, look more into it. But the stuff he's talking about, I've heard his name so many different times. You brought it up again. Stuff he's talking about is totally the things that I believe in and am interested in. And it's incredible that this guy did this, you know, decades ago, where he was studying this kind of stuff and actually proving, like, scientifically that there's so much more going on with, like, the energy and at a cellular point, as opposed to, you know, people think it's like a pseudoscience or it's, you know, this kind of crazy shit that you can't really explain. This guy's been explaining a lot of this stuff for decades now and actually proving that there's a lot. I mean, it really is. It comes down to this isn't just, you know, thoughts and crazy stuff that you can't pinpoint. There's a lot of data and research and different things that you can actually prove now in terms of positive thinking and that kind of a process.
And remember, he was on the other side, so he was actually teaching genetic determinism, which is the, you know, that our genes control our destiny, basically. So he was an authority figure there, and then he came across a discovery. So very, very easy for him to keep going. He was established in the medical community. He was like, no, this is incorrect. And so, but what happens with that? It means we have to take control of our destiny. It means we can't become victims. And victimhood is very tempting. It's very easy to become a victim. It actually feels really good in the moment. We've all dealt with it. I mean, a couple times a week, I latch on to victimhood for some reason. You know, a client didn't pay an invoice. I had an issue with one of my employees, whatever it is. But it leaves you powerless, because if you're a victim, that means inherently it's out of your control. Somebody else owns power over you. And if somebody else owns power over you, or if you're relying on somebody to change, you can't do it. So you just have to sit around and wait. So honestly, it's a nice way to let ourselves off the hook from actually doing anything. But you and I know change starts with personal responsibility.
Yeah, it's so much easier to say, oh, I have this gene, I'm going to get, you know, Alzheimer's disease, or, oh, I have this gene and I'm going to get cardiovascular disease. But it's like, no, you have a gene that makes you perhaps 1% more susceptible than the guy standing next to you, but that doesn't mean you're going to actually fucking get that disease. It actually means that you have to eat healthier, you have to do certain things, you got to take supplements, you know, certain types of supplements, and do things the right way, and perhaps be a little more hands-on with your health or whatever it is, but you're not going to necessarily get something. It's very empowering if you look at it one way, and unfortunately, I think it's very easy to fall into the trap of being that victim and thinking, like, you know, it's a lot easier to just be like, oh, well, this is what I got. There's nothing I can do. But the truth is, there's so much you can do to change your outcome, and you know, whether that's health, or we're talking, it's a good kind of metaphor for the business structure too, like the business talk we're having here, where it's basically like, you have all this shit happen to you, but, you know, or business pops up, or, you know, there's a pivot that has to come along the way, but you have control of things all the time. It's just a matter of actually taking those steps and taking action in your life.
And last year I faced this challenge head on, even with all my years of experience coaching others, doing it all. You know, I got this thing called Valley Fever. It's a lung disease. I was basically on my deathbed for 3 months, basically. Like, I couldn't do anything. I was like, when you're sick, you're vulnerable. So what did I do? I looked for other people who were experiencing this thing. It's a very rare disease, so there's not a lot of information. So I went to Facebook groups, Valley Fever Facebook group, and I said, hey, this is who I am. This is what I'm going through. Can you help? Dude, the negative, everybody said your life is over. You'll never be the same. Forget about all the hikes that you do. If your business, which I told them about my business, it's a lot of high energy. Like I have a personal brand. They're like, dude, forget about that life. It's over. Dude, I was vulnerable and I believed it. When you're vulnerable, you will believe shit. And I was like, are you kidding me? And dude, it sent me into this spiral. And then my fiance, who's amazing, was like, what the hell are you doing? You're believing these people. You know, the only people who are in this place are the ones that chose to stay victims. Do you think anybody who actually overcame this disease is back in these groups? No, they're out there living their life just like you're going to. And I had to check myself. And guess what? I deleted all that bullshit. And then after the process, I had one of the fastest recoveries because I hired the best expert in the country on this thing. One of the fastest recoveries, but we're all susceptible. I teach this stuff and I fell into the trap. And so this is why you need to surround yourself with people that are going to call you out on this stuff. And, you know, fortunately with my fiance, we've set the container where it's like, we're going to support the shit out of each other. I'm going to celebrate your wins bigger than I celebrate mine. And we're also going to call each other out because I want to grow in this relationship together.
Oh, that's a powerful story, man. I had absolutely no idea. I mean, just looking at you right now, we're on video here. It's, you know, audio call, but just looking at you now, you look fantastic. You look. You look very healthy, man. What is that disease, and how did you actually? What were some of the things you did, real quick, on how you got past that?
So it happens in very dry areas. Obviously, Arizona is desert. It happens in some places in California. It's fungus that lives in spores in the dirt, and in Arizona we have these windstorms. And dude, I hike like a crazy person. I mean, I have no idea exactly when or where I got it. But the symptoms are pretty crazy. I got pneumonia, then double pneumonia. But they still couldn't figure it out. So I went to the hospital. And the biggest symptom is really intense fatigue. Like I'm talking fatigue where, yeah, literally when I wake up, man, I'm ready to go. I couldn't even take a shower and months of this. And so it's a very unusual thing and there's not a lot of information on it. So it was a very hard process. But what I realized and another lesson, which is powerful, is I don't know how I got to that place. I run pretty hard. So I don't know how I got there. But when I first got the diagnosis, I said, dude, I'm going to crush the crap out of this. I'm going to own this. I'm going to be the number one recoverer of Valley Fever in the world. And I was actually in a mastermind and they said, dude, that's the same attitude that got you probably burned out, even though I didn't really know it, made your immune system go down, and then you got this horrible disease. So you're trying to solve a problem at the same level of thinking, right? The Einstein quote. And I was like, damn, that's a good point. So I actually did go through a process of, as cliche as it sounds, of surrender. You know, I hired this expert, and she said, listen, I've seen pro baseball players come to my office, Navy SEALs, who all had to retire, and this can impact the rest of your life. And so talking about expectations, I had level 12 expectations that I was going to crush this in a month. She was like, she brought him down to like, this is going to take 18 months or your entire life. Wow. But it actually helped because the moment that I released that pressure and I found so many lessons in gratitude and the fact that I have a body and there's so many people suffering and I was going to the Mayo Clinic, which is one of the big cancer centers, so I would see people who had cancer. There's a lot of different lessons that came from it. But dude, the moment that I actually let go and I was like, I don't know when I'm going to come back, but it doesn't matter because my identity isn't wrapped around what I think it is, my recovery literally skyrocketed. So the lesson is and this came out of left field, right? Like out of nowhere. You're going to get hit with challenges. Often people wait to build a toolkit, to build a mindset on a daily basis until those challenges come. And those humbled me, but there's no way I would have been able to navigate those in the way that I did without putting in the reps over and over again. And now I love sharing the story and I can empathize with, because I didn't know, you know, I've been pretty fit my whole life. I've never had really issues with that. I could never really connect with someone who has gone through a health issue. Now I can. Like, even somebody who has cancer or something intense, I know what it feels like to feel kind of helpless with your body. And that gives me a really great connecting piece. And that's why now I love sharing that story, because it's like, dude, I'm not superhuman. I'm just like you. We're all the same. We're just trying to navigate this. But you got to build the tools every single day. So at least when the crisis comes, you can handle it as swiftly as possible in the right way instead of letting it crumble you.
Yeah, it gives you two real big things after overcoming something like that. The first thing, of course, is strength. You have a deeper strength, a more profound strength in you now than I'm sure you had 2 years ago. And the other thing, of course, is empathy. You can connect with so many more people on a deeper level than you ever could have before. Like you said, even like cancer patients, you're knocked out on your ass for 3 months and you can't even get up and go to and take a shower because that's how tired and just drained you are physically. That changes your perspective for the rest of your life. You know, even if you have cancer, you have any type of chronic disease, something like that gives you a new perspective, gives you a new gratitude on the things that you do have. And you know, once you overcome, I'm just so happy that you overcame that, man. I really am.
Thanks, brother.
But yeah, I mean, once you overcome something like that, it makes you appreciate the things that you kind of overlooked naturally. Like everybody overlooks things that you overlooked before, and gives you a better perspective on life. But I am curious, a couple of the things like health-wise, like what are some of the steps that you took for, was it like supplementation? Was it diet? What are the couple of things that you changed to really kind of kickstart that healing?
Yeah. So my fiance's like, you know, I believe I know a little bit about nutrition, you know, I own a couple gyms and been in the game for 10 years, but she knows more than anyone. And, very natural, of course. And so she really helped me with trying things and navigating. Dude, I would, she would make me these bowls of, garlic, because garlic is very antifungal. And this is fungus is weird, man. You can't just get rid of it. In fact, I still have it in my lungs. It's just built a protective layer around it.
Yep.
But dude, she would give me the bowls of garlic and I would sit there, dude, no energy, just chewing on this garlic for hours. But I tried so many different type of things. But again, the healing powers of the body, and I get the belief. I mean, did all of these natural prescriptions work because they worked, or did it work because of my belief, or both? Dr. Joe Dispenza has a great book on that called You Are the Placebo. But it was just this daily process of, hey, I'm going to learn. I'm going to try one new thing. And what I noticed after, you know, 4 or 5 months actually was I could take a shower today. Like, talk about 1%. Like, I went from no shower to shower. And I was like, dude, this is amazing. And then I went right back to bed, of course. But then like 3 weeks later, it would be like shower, like being able to like have enough energy to kind of listen to like a podcast, maybe journal, and then back to bed. And so I started to see this incremental wins until one day I was back to shower, go hike a mountain. Now it took a little while for that, and get back in the game. And so it would kind of reaffirm the whole process of starting small, because I wanted to crush it. I wanted to be perfect tomorrow. And when you have disease or you have a vision, you can't place that pressure on it. JJ Virgin yesterday, she told me, she said, most people out there, they're just not patient enough. They have a shelf life on their dreams. And she's like, if you have a shelf life on your dreams, you just quit now, because you'll save yourself a bunch of stress.
Oh, shit. So how long in its entirety did it take to heal? Like, you look great. I said a minute ago, you look 100%. Are you 100%?
Yeah, I'm back.
How long did that take? 12 months?
I would say 8 months.
Eight months, wow.
8 months of like, yeah, eight to 10, maybe even 12 months of like finally, like I do feel like myself again. And one of the things that I do, you know, because I've been in physical fitness for so long, is I have a lot of data. So one of my big comebacks, I have this test that I do. It's 100 burpees for time. If you get under 5 minutes, you made it happen. If you didn't, you didn't. And so that was one of my tests where I was like, I got 459, like 0.9. But I was like, dude, I feel back. And I was like, that's really cool. Like, I didn't know if I would ever get to that place. And now there's a deeper appreciation. It still stays with me. You know, when I'm out on the mountains now I'm like, hey, remember, so this happened last June. Like, remember when you couldn't do any of this? Remember when you just looked outside your window and thought, would you ever be able to hike again? Perspective. And that's what we're here for. That's why people listen to this podcast, perspective, right? We want to get perspective, because that changes our perception, which changes our reality when we go out there and play the game of life.
Love it. Wow. It is such an awesome story, man. I'm, like I said before, really happy that you overcame that. And I mean, you now have so much more gratitude towards life and appreciation for things. And, you know, like I said, it makes you a lot stronger. So I think you're better off for that. As much as it sucked, those, I'm sure it sucked, you know, terribly for those 8 months and, you know, most of those 8 months. I think it does actually help you in the long run, like grow and become a more enlightened type of person.
Absolutely.
Tommy, as far as the 1% rule, though, is there something else that that you want listeners to know before we kind of wrap things up in a minute? Is there another sort of takeaway or action step that they can take to implement this 1% rule and get the ball rolling in their life?
No, man, the biggest thing would be to, you know, if you just as I've given some practical steps like the iPhone test, the commitments and expectations, if you're celebrating the wins, if you just do a few of those things and you commit to the next, you know, if you just start today and you commit to those, like those are the 1%. Those are the small things that make the biggest impact. And so often people will say, dude, it's too simple. And I said, dude, in a distracted, caffeinated, loud, breaking news, CNN, Trump, bills, noise, world, I don't know about you, I want to run towards simple, because if something is simple, that means I can step into it and I can actually focus on it, where everybody else is just being scattered on the things that don't matter.
Mm. Yeah. And it's almost like, it's almost as if you had that whole circumstance with your health thing pop up to reaffirm just how fucking powerful this 1% rule really is. Like, you are the poster child for the 1% rule actually working. as it did suck, man, it's awesome now that you actually have that to go along with this, because it's so true that fucking those small steps every single day will change your life, whether it's 8 months like in your case, 1 year, 2 years, whatever it is. Take those small steps.
100%. Hey, life's gonna happen no matter what, so why not build that, build brick by brick, and then, dude, one day you wake up and you're like, wow, I can't even recognize this life. And it actually happened, and that's what I want to give people.
Love it. Tommy, just kind of wrapping things up, man, what's a last send-off, takeaway message you'd like to leave our Elite Man audience? It's been a fantastic interview, brother. I really do appreciate your time. But what's a send-off, and then also a place that our listeners can check out more about your work?
Yeah, the send-off is, don't keep your dreams a secret. I'm not saying go shout it from the rooftop tonight, but tell one person the thing that you've been secretly hiding. Often we keep our dreams a secret, and it kind of lets us off the hook. And if you can't declare it to somebody else, it's not real or serious enough to you. And so go grab somebody and tell them, and release what they're going to say, right? Because sometimes you're going to get critiqued when you do this. Sometimes you're going to get supported. Sometimes people are going to say, dude, you're crazy. What are you thinking? That's not going to happen. But there's so much power in declaration. And it has nothing to do with the other person. It has absolutely everything to do with you. Do that, and you will notice a shift inside of you. And if this resonated in any shape, way, or form, easiest way to connect is, obviously, you love podcasts, which I got to get you on the show, by the way, man. Resist Average Academy podcast. And the 1% rule is on Amazon if you want to grab it.
Awesome. Resist Average Academy podcast, guys, check them out. And also the 1% rule, which I mentioned before, I'm going to definitely be ordering right after this call. It is a phenomenal book, phenomenal concept, and man, I can't wait to dive through it myself. Tommy, thanks again for coming on, brother. It has been a fantastic interview. I really appreciate your time, as always. It was great to connect, and I'll talk to you soon.
You rock, man. Delivering big value, and such a pleasure.
All right, guys, I hope you enjoyed that episode. But before you go, there's one last thing I need you to do. I need you to subscribe to this podcast right now if you haven't already. By subscribing to the podcast, you get every single episode the minute they're released. Get all of our Elite Man podcast interviews with all of our incredible world-class guests from the lifestyle, health, fitness, business, and social worlds absolutely free. Subscribe now, guys, if you haven't already, and enjoy all future episodes. And yes, if you do love the podcast, leave us an awesome review. We really do appreciate it.
Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.